the word out, he's ordering his cabinet secretaries to come up with $100 million in budget cuts.
Moving forward, we have an obligation to make sure that this government is as efficient as possible and that every taxpayer dollar that is spent is being spent wisely.
In Boston, authorities are charging a 22-year-old college student in separate attacks on two women he allegedly met on Craigslist.
Philip Marcotte was arrested for the murder of Julissa Brissman on April 14th. He was also charged with unlawful possession of a firearm, the one that killed her, armed robbery, kidnapping, involving an incident that occurred at the Westin Hotel 4 days earlier.
That's District Attorney Daniel Conley. Iran's Mahmoud Ahmadinejad prompts a mass walkout by verbally attacking Israel during a UN conference on racism. The World Body's Commissioner for Human Rights is asking member nations to ignore the attack, referring to the Iranian president as someone who traditionally makes obnoxious statements. Nearly two dozen European delegations walked out of the meeting. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
What's the true cost to own a minivan? If you choose the Honda Odyssey, the answer is less than you might think. Because it's a top safety pick by the Insurance Institute of Highway Safety, your insurance costs can be significantly lower over the long term. Plus, it's nice to know your passengers will feel protected too. Good reasons why the Odyssey is the best-selling minivan in America.
Based on Arnold Polk & Company retail registrations for the minivan segment January through November 2008, based on Edmunds.com's true cost to own for the first 5 years of ownership.
Did you ever hear that bedbugs transmit serious diseases like hepatitis and are only found in filthy living conditions? Well, that's just a myth. Here's the fact. Bedbugs don't transmit diseases, but they do bite, leaving behind red and itchy welts, and can be found in the cleanest of places, even hospitals and five-star hotels. And that's no myth. A pest professional is your best defense against the devastation bedbugs, rodents, and termites can cause to your home and family. Visit PestWorld.org to hire your pest pro today. That's PestWorld.org.
Wow, what a big heat up. It looks like we'll see that first 100 tomorrow afternoon. Overnight lows now warmer also in the mid-70s. But it's short-lived, a gradual cool-down the rest of the work week into the weekend. By Sunday, we're back to the upper 80s. Jim Howell, KFNX Newstalk Radio, 1100.
Currently, in downtown Phoenix, it's 89 degrees.
Hey, it's Tim Conway Jr. here. Are you struggling with your credit cards? You owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt? And frustrated by the creditors and the collection agencies? Well, this program is the fastest way to eliminate debt, with a very low monthly payment and paying back substantially less than you owe. Call this number right now and get yourself some relief. 888-85-BILLS, 888-85-BILLS, or check out the website, 85BILLS.com.
Hey, Arizona. I am Shake, co-host of The Money Shot. Wednesdays at 12:30. Money, debt, and the rude awakening from your American dream. The Money Shot, Wednesdays at 12:30.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
Free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net, where you can find a list of past guests, download those interviews, see who's scheduled for upcoming shows, and if you're listening live, you can see the call-in numbers. We're joined today, April 20th, 2009, in a pre-recorded segment by Dr. Michael McCoubrey and Dr. Irving Dardick. If you were watching 60 Minutes last night on CBS, you would have seen an interview with Dr. Kubri did as part of that special they did on cold fusion is hot again. Dr. McCoubrey is with Energetic Technologies, LLC, a foremost laboratory in researching cold fusion for possible commercial application. Dr. Dardick is with SRI International of Stanford, which has replicated the work that has been done by Energetics Technologies. Dr. McCoubrey has been in the field since the days of Pons and Fleischmann 20 years ago. Also on the line is Rick Kramer of Rick Kramer Media LLC, which has been arranging the press interviews for Energetics. Drs. McCoubrey and Dardick, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I got to correct your introduction. I'm Mike McCoubrey from SRI, and Irv Dardick is Energetic, so you got our affiliations flipped backwards.
Okay. Sorry about that. Now that we've got that straightened out, tell us, there were some things in the 60-minute interview that you wanted to maybe bring a little additional light to. Maybe we could start there.
Well, I thought the 60 Minutes piece was very well done. I must say the CBS production team was extremely professional, and I'm very happy with the interactions with them. One of the things that probably wasn't brought out as clearly as it could have been is the replication activity that I undertook at SRI with the support from Enea in Italy was a replication of the Energetics experiments conceived in New Jersey by my partner on this conversation, Dr. Dardick, and performed in Israel. So, and one of the new things in the field of cold fusion is the very large energy production of the experiments performed in Israel using the superwave stimulus conceived by Dr. Dardick, and you probably want to bounce to Irv to speak about that a little bit more clearly.
Sure, let's talk about the superwave technology.
Yes, I'm actually a physician. That's my doctorate. And actually have been looking at human organisms and thinking in terms of biological systems and energy metabolism. It was from that perspective, in that direction, that I began looking at the metabolism as being a fractal nature cyclic phenomena, which I call super waves, where waves are nested within waves, rhythms within rhythms within rhythms cyclically, and how that actually works in a biological system in a way that had not been understood in the past. And then from that direction, happened to meet Herman Brandenburg, professor of physics in Israel at Ben-Gurion University, who was intrigued with this, and within a period of time actually began to look at it from the perspective of how we can implement it in the laboratory, working within, rather than the classical electromagnetic waves that Pons and Fleischmann had used, to use those waves in a format of a fractal, what I call super waves. And this was the beginning of, and we established a lab in Omer, and have somewhere between 15 and 20 physicists, engineers, mathematicians over the years. And I think we began this in 2001 and have continued since, and it's in full operation. And once we were getting significant results, we began, as Mike McCoubrey indicated, to work out to have it replicated in other institutions to make sure that, you know, to get that replication, which was such a necessary thing and so powerful in the experimental world.
Now, in the interview on 60 Minutes, which I concur was excellent, very well done, they talked about the difficulty of replicating the effect. Even though there is an effect that is definite, it's hard to get it to reproduce the same time after time. Is that something
Mike,
you've experienced?
Can I comment on that?
Certainly.
Yeah, I'm thinking, were you, this was always obviously the key problem historically, replicating it in different laboratories, not only in the same laboratory, getting it to reproduce. We started off, we were getting somewhere upwards of 10 to 20% replication, but as we refined the waveform, we increased our in-laboratory replication up to where we can get it up to about 75% reproducibility. But that was the key thing that we had to do, was to get it replicated in other laboratories independently, but the same technology, same approach, but independent, and where it could be quantified and measured so that we and, you know, calibrated, so we knew exactly that we were getting the results independently, and we've done that now. And there are three different laboratories in Israel, in Mike's lab, in SRI, and Enea in Italy. And so this is, as Mike will probably agree with, is more than anyone else has ever been able to do. And understanding how we use the superwave principle will, and applying it in a more expanded version, I expect that we'll be able to get to that 100% range, and that'll be pretty spectacular.
Yeah, people, you know, I tell people I've been working on this for 20 years and that we still don't have 100% reproducibility, and the obvious question is why. Well, it's a very difficult problem. We're dealing with many-bodied physics, and we're dealing with material science. We know a lot about both, but we don't know everything about either. So both many-body physics and material science, particularly metallurgy, are practiced more as arts than sciences. So we are creeping up on an understanding, and it's going to take a little bit more work. As Irv said, the key to achieving the high levels of reproducibility that we have achieved at SRI, reproducing energetics work, is the superwaves that Irv described. It is, we know what conditions are needed to produce the cold fusion heat effect. We know what we need to do. We can't always achieve those conditions. We need to maintain high loadings of deuterium inside the palladium for very long periods of time, and we need a flux of deuterium through the interface. You know, movement of deuterons in and out of the palladium creates the dynamic system that we need. Now, superwaves help with both of those things.
Now, in terms of getting this to a point that might be used commercially, how far off do you think we are?
You know, I think that opinions vary. From my perspective, thinking in terms of how, since I've been working on these superwaves actually going back to 1985, so I have a lot of experience of that, working with them in biological systems, and also thinking in terms of how this would evolve as we are able to really develop the technology, so that the technology itself is not just as here is a technology and we're going to apply the superwaves, but the technology itself is geared to be able to be a superwave technology in its own right. It's built around the within the context of the superwaves. And in that, and that, from that approach, I would really expect that we would be able to see some 100% within the next 2 to 3 years.
I think you'll get your 100% reproducibility on the pathway to commercialization.
Yes.
We need to take control over the materials production, and there's no real reason to do that until you're making something on us on the large scale that you'd need for commercialization. So we essentially 100% reproducibility. Well, let's say the same level of reproducibility that you have when you sit in your automobile and put the key in the ignition. It's not quite 100%, but that is an acceptable level of reproducibility. That will come in the commercial development phase. People have asked me many times, you know, when do we see a product? And I refuse really to be drawn into that. It's speculative. We do need to know more about the system, and the question is, what is the product going to be? So on the one limit, it could be a long way away. It might even be never, although it's hard to imagine that we can wield the power of nuclear physics on a tabletop and not have something useful and practical come out of it. But on the other limit, one experiment performed by Energetics in Israel, which I speak about quite a lot, was capable of boiling water, produced 40 times more heat than the electrical power going into it. If that single experiment could be mass-produced and reproduced, it would be the essence of a commercial product. So we've already seen indications that a commercial-like object is not only possible, it's already happened.
Mike, can you mention how long that experiment actually lasted?
That's experiment 64, which has been written up in a number of places. But the first burst of heat was about 17 hours. It went on to produce a second burst. So the experiment lasted only a few days. I mean, for commercialization, obviously, you need, you know, a lifetime of a year or 3 years or 30 years, depending upon what the product is. So we've got a lot of work to do to get our materials in the right condition at the beginning and have them not degrade with time.
But I think what's important is that it was not one of these instant bubble type thing effects, sonoluminescence or whatever, that, but that it did last hours in some of the experiments we've had that have lasted months and continued on their own, you know, for periods of months. So we know the possibility is there. And the, as Mike said, obviously have to be engineered in such a way as to be able to do that. One is where I'm coming from, though, is also is that this whole new understanding of superwaves goes beyond what we've been looking at historically in terms of the fusion process. And I'm talking about the general world and their attempts to have fusion of any sort. And by understanding the superwaves, it's a whole new way to approach this whole concept of what we call superwave fusion, that is goes beyond what we've had experience with in the past, and so it's taking a new approach, but it's something that is very accessible and understandable once you begin working with it.
Need to take a break. Could I talk you into coming on for another 10 minutes after the break?
That's fine. We'll see you then.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're joined today, April 20th, 2009, in a pre-recorded segment by Dr. Michael McCoubrey and Dr. Irving Dardick.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
If credit card debt is making your life miserable and you're tired of living from paycheck to paycheck, then get ready for a toll-free number that will end your credit nightmare and preserve your self-respect. Trinity Debt Management will save you thousands by cutting your interest as much as 60% and increasing your credit score up to 200 points. If you're ready for one low monthly payment that pays off your debt, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360. Trinity's certified counselors will explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. If your debt has you down, we should talk.
Trinity.
Call for free information now at 1-800-758-5360. 1-800-758-5360. 1-800-758-5360.
Not available in all states.
This is President Barack Obama. In the story of America, the greatest chapters are moments of challenge, when we see people serving their country and one another. Volunteers who step forward into hospital corridors and church basements, along levees and fire lines. And the next chapter is yours to help write. Sign up to volunteer at usaservice.org. That's usaservice.org. Let's renew America together.
A message from Renew America Together, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Free energy now!
Welcome back. We're talking with Drs. McCoubrey and Dardick, who have been working in renewable energy, specifically cold fusion. Dr. McCoubrey was featured in 60 Minutes. Let's pick up where we were talking before we went to break. We were talking about the super waves.
Yes.
Tell us what that is about, the superwave technology.
What's interesting is that back in 1991, which was about 2 years after Pons Fleischmann came out with this cold fusion, and it was already at that point, it was a lot of problems in the public arena and the scientific arena with it, I actually looked at it and I said, oh, wow, this is very this is close to what I've been doing conceptually in the biological arena. And I applied for a patent back then, 1991, for the use of superwaves back then and its application in cold fusion. It was not accepted because the patent office had turned it down, and they didn't accept anything that had the name cold fusion in it.
Yeah.
So it was over the years I let that go. This superwaves is can I explain it to you from a biological perspective? You can see it very easily. You know,
sure.
The heartbeat, if you were to print it out in the classical way, the Eindhoven electrocardiogram would be printed out in a straight line, a typical electrocardiogram. If I were to exercise and then sit down, a stress test or whatever, and sit down, the heartbeat would speed up and slow down, but it would all be printed out in a straight line. And what I realize is that that's not true to nature, that what's really going on is the heartbeat as a cycle, it's a wave of systole and diastole, is actually climbing up and down a whole body wave of the whole metabolism of exercise and recovery of the whole organism. So in the peak of exercise, you would have the highest frequency and ejection fraction amplitude. Let's say the heartbeat going up to 180, and then if you were to sit down and recover, it would come back down to 70, 60 or so. And that it's waves nested in a wave, and the chemistry would do the same thing. The chemistry would climb up and down systole, diastole, and climb up and down to the peak when you're up at 180, and the cycling of the metabolism and the energy metabolism up and down each heartbeat in the whole body. And I saw this as nested waves within waves within waves, and then also then took it right down conceptually, right down to the atoms and particles, which happen to be not only oscillating, but are waves as well. So can I influence the actual rhythmic phenomena at the micro level using the large-scale rhythms? And that's the super waves. And so rather than just thinking in terms of the particles as being objects, thinking of them as their, you know, the quantum approach of recognizing the wave-particle duality, but actually influencing wave activity at the microscopic level from the top down, from outside in.
How does that apply then to the cold fusion process? You're saying that the chemistry does the same thing, wave within a wave.
Yeah, well, applying the actual the electromagnetic waves in the shaping of certain patterns that would be nested so that it would influence the the loading, as Mike had said, the flux of the deuterium in and out, but actually influence the oscillations of the atoms individually and at the microscopic level. And increasing motion is increasing heat. And so the whole idea would be to develop this fusion process of compression and density the deuterium to create in such a way as to create compression and heat at the microscopic level.
I must say that when I first heard this idea of superwaves, although I can understand the biological analogy that Irv just used, and I agree with it, by the way, but the idea that a medical doctor could teach me, an electrochemist, a better way to load hydrogen or deuterium into palladium, which is my speciality, is something which I had a very great deal of difficulty with. You know, in this field, I'm the expert, and I knew what I was doing, and the idea that the superwave could somehow help me in my field of expertise was a stretch for me. I'd seen the results that the energetics team had presented in the 10th International Conference on Cold Fusion in Cambridge, Massachusetts. The results were spectacular. And I clearly knew something. I was interested in learning more, but it took me a long time to accept that this idea of a very complicated wave structure with a lot of periodic components to it could somehow help me load deuterium into palladium and cause the excess heat effect. I needed to see this with my own eyes. It turns out that Irv is right, that it does help. And the rationalization for it is relatively easy, and there are a lot of cyclic processes involved. The absorption of deuterium into palladium causes compressive strains which provide a restoring force back in the other direction. So it's more efficient to load if you push on it and then back off a little bit. And the analogy that I like best is freeing a stuck drawer. If you've got a drawer stuck, you pull on it. You pull on it, it's stuck. So what do you do? Subconsciously, intuitively, what we do is wiggle the drawer in every direction, up, down, left, right, in, out, until it frees up. So it is subject to restoration by an oscillatory process. We're not necessarily sure which of those oscillatory processes is important, but superwave seems to work in the same way in the electrochemical system to provide a much more reliable mechanism of loading hydrogen and deuterium to very high levels, and to provide the flux. And both those things, as I said in the first segment, both those things are critical to the excess heat effect.
Now, when you talk about comparing this to the physiological system and the increase and decrease metabolism of sitting versus running, would you expect that these phenomena you could then apply to a cold fusion system to be able to be load following, so that as your load, you have a higher load requirement, where the load increases, you need to be able to respond to that. That the cold fusion system could then ramp up and ramp down accordingly.
Well, we certainly need that to happen to have a practical device. It's not much point in having an automobile that has only one speed. You can't stop it. You can't accelerate it. So we will need to exert control, and we haven't done a very good job of that so far. And we have experiments, for example, that when you turn all of the electrical stimulus off, the heat persists for some periods of time, days, hours, days, in some cases a week, after the electrical stimulus is removed, the heat persists. So that's not... It's a very good demonstration of a real effect, because it makes your calorimetry very easy, but it's not good control for a product. So
it's also quite an amazing thing unto itself, and that we call it heat after death, that we continue to get excess heat. And then, by the way, there is a analogy to that in the biological systems where certain phenomena repeat themselves without the stimulus afterwards, and it's an ischemic preconditioning, they call it, second window, third window, where there's an effect that recurs even though there's no input anymore. And this is the same extraordinary thing that we're seeing happening here. So what's unusual here for me as a physician is, I've read a little bit about quantum physics in the past, but then we're always looking to think in terms of trying to understand the biological world through the eyes of physics, and, through the molecular, and then going down to physics as a basic phenomena. But here, I kind of reverse the process and looking at a biological system coming from life. So look down and see how we can actually influence non-life, the so-called. After all, you and I, we're all made of not just molecules, we're made of atoms and quantum phenomena as well. And so why can't we influence that from that perspective as well?
Coming to the end of our segment here, I would be curious to know about the possibility of, rather than trying to be load-following, first of all, just go to a base load capable. And then you can have other technologies to service batteries and increase, decrease based on a continuous output. Let's give your website out.
You can reach it at www.energetictechnologies.com, or you can go to the same site at www.superwavefusion.com.
Again, we've been talking to Drs. McCubbrey and Dardik. We really appreciate you coming on the show and wish you all the best.
Thanks very much.
Live streaming audio on demand, 24 hours a day. Log on now at 1100KFNX.com. KFNX.com.
See you. CNN Radio, I'm Greg Black. Another round of layoffs at GM. The automaker's cutting another 1,600 workers as it struggles to become profitable again. The Wall Street rally ran out of steam today, with the Dow surfing its biggest one-day loss in more than a month. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ lost ground as well. Colorado marks the 10th anniversary of the massacre at Columbine High School. Val Schnurr, who was shot during the attacks, says she refuses to consider herself a victim.
This tragedy is not who we are as individuals. It has not defined us as human beings. We are not victims. We are survivors.
A pre-med student at Boston University is behind bars tonight, charged with murdering a woman he allegedly met on Craigslist. President Obama shrugging off complaints about his release of confidential memos relating to interrogation techniques used at Guantanamo Bay. He says publicizing the documents will ultimately make the nation stronger. This is CNN Radio.
Wow, what a big heat up. It looks like we'll see that first 100 tomorrow afternoon. Overnight lows now warmer also in the mid-70s. But it's short-lived, a gradual cool down the rest of the work week into the weekend. By Sunday, we're back to the upper 80s. Jim Howell, KFNX Newstalk Radio, 1100.
Currently, in downtown Phoenix, it's 89 degrees.
Great news for chronic back pain sufferers who don't know where to turn or who to trust. There's a scientific discovery with no drugs or surgery proven effective for bulging and herniated discs, sciatica, stenosis, deterioration, and arthrosis.
Hi, this is Dr. John Boardman, D.C., Clinic Director of the Spinal Aid Center. We help people suffering from severe back pain and disc herniations every day. Patients come to us because they have not found relief with other treatments. They have been told they will need painful injections or back surgery. We have relief. We have a non-surgical, FDA-cleared procedure that may help you. Call 480-704-0312 for your free consultation to see if you are a candidate for spinal decompression. Call 480-704-0312. Or visit us at azspinalaid.com. Again, call 480-704-0312 or visit us online at azspinalaid.com.
Discount Gold and Silver wants you to know that in 2008, stocks lost 38%, gold bullion gained just 3%, while gold coins gained an average of 19%. If you had invested $10,000 in stocks last year, you would have lost $3,800, while $10,000 in gold coins would have gained almost $2,000. Where will you invest and protect your money this year? Since 1995, the best prices on gold coins are at Discount Gold and Silver. Call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
Does your mortgage have you stressed out? Is your house worth less than what you owe? There is help available for you. We are Federal Loan Restructuring, an experienced, attorney-backed loan modification company here to support homeowners just like you. We have had success modifying the terms on almost every type of loan. We have no upfront charges, your money is held in escrow, and we have a money-back guarantee. Call us at 877-FED-MOD-8 or visit us at federalloanrestructuring.com. Don't give up. Call us today at 877-FED-MOD-8.
Don't settle for misery. Dr. Laura has a better way.
One, two, three. In through your nose, out through your mouth. Now, come on. Be as noisy as me.
Yes. Dr. Laura.
Nobody fed me, so I'm going to pork out. Nobody did this for me, and damn it, I'm going to overwhelm my kids with it. I am going to show them so much help and caretaking. They suffocate.
Dr. Laura.
You know what you got to do? You got to enjoy your life, sweetheart.
The Dr. Laura Program. Middays at 1. Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
Free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net, where you can find a list of past guests, download those interviews, see who's scheduled for upcoming shows, and if you're listening live, you can see the call-in numbers. We're joined today, April 20th, 2009, in a pre-recorded segment by Dr. Michael McCubbery, and Dr. Irving Dardick. If you're watching, if you were watching 60 Minutes last night on CBS, you would have seen an interview with Dr. Kubery did as part of that special they did on cold fusion is hot again. Dr. McCubery is with Energetic Technologies, LLC, a foremost laboratory in researching cold fusion for possible commercial application. Dr. Dardick is with SRI International of Stanford, which has replicated the work that has been done by Energetics Technologies. Dr. McCubery has been in the field since the days of Pons and Fleischmann 20 years ago. Also on the line is Rick Kramer of Rick Kramer Media LLC, which has been arranging the press interviews for Energetics. Doctors McCubery and Dardick, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I've got to correct your introduction. I'm Mike McCubery from SRI, and Irv Dardick is Energetics, so you got our affiliations flipped backwards.
Okay. Sorry about that. Now that we've got that straightened out, tell us, there were some things in the 60-minute interview that you wanted to maybe bring a little additional light to. Maybe we could start there.
Well, I thought the 60 Minutes piece was very well done. I must say the CBS production team was extremely professional, and I'm very happy with the interactions with them. One of the things that probably wasn't brought out as clearly as it could have been is the replication activity that I undertook at SRI with the support from Enea in Italy was a replication of the Energetics experiments conceived in New Jersey by my partner on this conversation, Dr. Dardick, and performed in Israel. So, and one of the new things in the field of cold fusion is the very large energy production of the experiments performed in Israel using the superwave stimulus conceived by Dr. Dardick, and you probably want to bounce to Irv to speak about that a little bit more clearly.
Sure, let's talk about the superwave technology.
Yes, I'm actually a physician. That's my doctorate. And actually have been looking at human organisms and thinking in terms of biological systems and energy metabolism. It was from that perspective, in that direction, that I began looking at the metabolism as being a fractal nature, cyclic phenomena, which I call super waves, where waves are nested within waves, rhythms within rhythms within rhythms cyclically, and how that actually works in a biological system in a way that had not been understood in the past. And then from that direction, happened to meet Hermann Braunriver, professor of physics in Israel, at Ben Gurion University, who was intrigued with this, and within a period of time actually began to look at it from the perspective of how we can implement it in the laboratory, working within, rather than the classical electromagnetic waves that Pons and Fleischmann had used, to use those waves in a format of a fractal, what I call super waves. And this was the beginning of, and we established a lab in Omer, and have somewhere between 15 and 20 physicists, engineers, mathematicians over the years. And I think we began this in 2001 and have continued since, and it's in full operation. And once we were getting significant results, we began, as Mike McCubery indicated, to work out to have it replicated in other institutions to make sure that, you know, to get that replication, which was such a necessary thing and so powerful in the experimental world.
Now, in the interview on 60 Minutes, which I concur was excellent, very well done, they talked about the difficulty of replicating the effect. Even though there is an effect that is definite, it's hard to get it to reproduce the same time after time. Is that something
you've
experienced?
Mike, can I comment on that?
Certainly.
Yeah, I'm thinking, were you, this was always obviously the key problem historically, replicating it in different laboratories, not only in the same laboratory, getting it to reproduce. We started off, we were getting somewhere upwards of 10 to 20% replication, but as we refined the waveform, we increased our in laboratory replication up to where we can get it up to about 75% reproducibility. But that was the key thing that we had to do, was to get it replicated in other laboratories independently, but the same technology, same approach, but independent, and where it could be quantified and measured, so that we calibrated, so we knew exactly that we were getting the results independently, and we've done that now in there are three different laboratories in Israel, in Mike's lab in SRI, and Anea in Italy. And so this is, as Mike will probably agree with, is more than anyone else has ever been able to do. And understanding how we use the superwave principle and applying it in a more expanded version, I expect that we'll be able to get to that 100% range, and that'll be pretty spectacular.
Yeah, people, I tell people I've been working on this for 20 years and that we still don't have 100% reproducibility, and the obvious question is why. Well, it's a very difficult problem. We're dealing with many-bodied physics, and we're dealing with material science. We know a lot about both, but we don't know everything about either. So both many-body physics and material science, particularly metallurgy, are practiced more as arts than sciences, so we are creeping up on an understanding, and it's going to take a little bit more work. As Irv said, the key to achieving the high levels of reproducibility that we have achieved at SRI, reproducing energetics work, is the superwaves that Irv described. It is we know what conditions are needed to produce the cold fusion heat effect. We know what we need to do. We can't always achieve those conditions. We need to maintain high loadings of deuterium inside the palladium for very long periods of time, and we need a flux of deuterium through the interface. The movement of deuterons in and out of the palladium creates the dynamic system that we need. Now, the superwaves help with both of those things.
Now, in terms of getting this to a point that might be used commercially, how far off do you think we are?
I think that opinions vary. From my perspective, thinking in terms of how, since I've been working on these superwaves, actually going back to 1985, so I have a lot of experience of that, working with them in biological systems, and also thinking in terms of how this would evolve as we are able to really develop the technology, so that the technology itself is not just as here is a technology and we're going to apply the superwaves, but the technology itself is geared to be able to be a superwave technology in its own right. It's built around within the context of the superwaves. And from that approach, I would really expect that we would be able to see some 100% within the next 2 to 3 years.
I think you'll get your 100% reproducibility on the pathway to commercialization.
Yes.
We need to take control over the materials production, and there's no real reason to do that until you're making something on a large scale that you'd need for commercialization. So we essentially 100% reproducibility. Well, let's say the same level of reproducibility that you have when you sit in your automobile and put the key in the ignition. It's not quite 100%, but that is an acceptable level of reproducibility. That will come in the commercial development phase. People have asked me many times, when do we see a product? And I refuse really to be drawn into that. It's speculative. We do need to know more about the system, and the question is, what is the product going to be? So on the one limit, it could be a long way away. It might even be never, although it's hard to imagine that we can wield the power of nuclear physics on a tabletop and not have something useful and practical come out of it. But on the other limit, one experiment performed by Energetics in Israel, which I speak about quite a lot, was capable of boiling water, produced 40 times more heat than the electrical power going into it. If that single experiment could be mass-produced and reproduced, it would be the essence of a commercial product. So we've already seen indications that a commercial-like object is not only possible, it's already happened.
Mike, can you mention how long that experiment actually lasted?
That's experiment 64, which has been written up in a number of places. But the first burst of heat was about 17 hours. It went on to produce a second burst. So the experiment lasted only a few days. I mean, for commercialization, obviously, you need a lifetime of a year or 3 years or 30 years, depending upon what the product is. So we've got a lot of work to do to get our materials in the right condition at the beginning and have them not degrade with time.
But I think what's important is that it was not one of these instant bubble type thing effects, sonoluminescence or whatever, but that it did last hours in some of the experiments we've had that have lasted months and continued on their own, for periods of months. So we know the possibility is there. And the, as Mike said, obviously have to be engineered in such a way as to be able to do that. One is where I'm coming from, though, is that this whole new understanding of superwaves goes beyond what we've been looking at historically in terms of the fusion process. And I'm talking about the general world and their attempts to have fusion of any sort. And by understanding the superwaves, it's a whole new way to approach this whole concept of what we call superwave fusion goes beyond what we've had experience with in the past, and so it's taking a new approach, but it's something that is very accessible and understandable once you begin working with it.
Need to take a break. Could I talk you into coming on for another 10 minutes after the break?
That's fine. We'll see you then.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're joined today, April 20th, 2009, in a pre-recorded segment by Dr. Michael McCoubrey and Dr. Irving Dardick.
I plugged the StanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The StanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The StanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at scangauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
There has never been a better time to wipe out all of your debt. Credit card balances, auto loan balances, mortgages, everything. Let Real Talk help you, like they've helped thousands of families across this country. Joey from San Diego was hesitant at first to let Real Talk assist him.
I was one of those people.
It actually worked.
These people change your lives.
Experience total financial freedom. Register today for Real Talk's next free Phoenix area workshop. Call now, 877-572-1405. Or register online at www.goartn.com.
I'll be honest, after high school, I wasn't really sure what to do.
I never had what you called a mentor, someone to help me figure out what I was best at.
I needed guidance.
I know I needed discipline.
The guard helped me get squared away.
Squared away? That means you've got everything together, everything in its place. It's something I could not have achieved without the guard.
In the guard, I learned that I have a lot more in me than I ever dreamed. Physical stamina and career ambition.
The National Guard really helped turn my life around. Friends and family, my community, and the nation all can rely on me.
In the National Guard, I've gotten paid job training, money for college.
I get a steady paycheck, and I've become a leader.
I've got a plan for the future. I'm squared away, thanks to the National Guard.
Visit 1-800-GO-GUARD.com or call 1-800-GO-GUARD and ask how you can get the discipline, education, and job skills you need to succeed in the National Guard.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard, aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Today's issues presented with intelligence, humor, and a thoughtful perspective. I'm Rudy Kaye. Join me Mondays at 4 p.m. for Main Street Out Loud on KFNX News Talk Radio 1190.
Free energy now!
Welcome back. We're talking with Drs. McCoubrey and Dardick, who have been working in renewable energy, specifically cold fusion. Dr. McCoubey was featured on 60 Minutes. Let's pick up where we were talking before we went to break. We were talking about the super waves.
Yes.
Tell us what that is about, the super wave technology.
What's interesting is that back in 1991, which was about 2 years after Hans Fleischmann came out with this cold fusion, and it was already at that point, it was there were a lot of problems in the public arena and the scientific arena with it. I actually looked at it and I said, "Oh wow, this is this is close to what I've been doing conceptually in the biological arena." And I applied for a patent back then, 1991, for the use of super waves back then and its application in cold fusion. It was not accepted because the patent office had turned it down, and they didn't accept anything that had the name cold fusion in it.
Yeah.
So it was over the years I let that go. This super waves is can I explain it to you from a biological perspective? You can see it very easily. You know,
sure.
The heartbeat, if you were to print it out in the classical way, the Eindhoven electrocardiogram would be printed out in a straight line, a typical electrocardiogram. If I were to exercise and then sit down, a stress test or whatever, and sit down, the heartbeat would speed up and slow down, but it would all be printed out in a straight line. And what I realize is that that's not true to nature, that what's really going on is the heartbeat as a cycle, it's a wave of systole and diastole, is actually climbing up and down a whole body wave of the whole metabolism of exercise and recovery of the whole organism. So in the peak of exercise, you would have the highest frequency and ejection fraction amplitude. Let's say the heartbeat going up to 180, and then if you were to sit down and recover, it would come back down to 70, 60 or so. And that it's waves nested in a wave, and the chemistry would do the same thing. The chemistry would climb up and down systole, diastole, and climb up and down to the peak when you're up at 180, and the cycling of the metabolism and the energy metabolism up and down each heartbeat in the whole body. And I saw this as nested waves within waves within waves, and then took it right down conceptually, right down to the atoms and particles, which happen to be not only oscillating but are waves as well. So can I influence the actual rhythmic phenomena at the micro level using the large-scale rhythms? And that's the super waves. And so rather than just thinking in terms of the particles as being objects, thinking of them as their, you know, the quantum approach of recognizing the wave-particle duality, but actually influencing wave activity at the microscopic level from the top down, from outside in.
How does that apply then to the cold fusion process? You're saying that the chemistry does the same thing, wave within a wave.
Yeah, well, applying the actual the electromagnetic waves in the shaping of certain patterns that would be nested so that it would influence the the loading, as Mike had said, the flux of the deuterium in and out, but actually influence the oscillations of the atoms individually and at the microscopic level. And increasing motion is increasing heat. And so the whole idea would be to develop this fusion process of compression and density of the deuterium to create in such a way as to create compression and heat at the microscopic level.
I must say that when I first heard this idea of super waves, although I can understand the biological analogy that Irv just used, and I agree with it, by the way, but the idea that a medical doctor could teach me, an electrochemist, a better way to load hydrogen or deuterium into palladium, which is my speciality, is something which I had a very great deal of difficulty with. You know, in this field, I'm the expert, and I knew what I was doing, and the idea that the super wave could somehow help me in my field of expertise was a stretch for me. I'd seen the results that the energetic team had presented in the 10th International Conference on Cold Fusion in Cambridge, Massachusetts. The results were spectacular. And I clearly knew something. I was interested in learning more, but took me a long time to accept that this idea of a very complicated wave structure with a lot of periodic components to it could somehow help me load deuterium into palladium and cause the excess heat effect. I needed to see this with my own eyes. It turns out that Irv is right, that it does help. And the rationalization for it is relatively easy, and there are a lot of cyclic processes involved. The absorption of deuterium into palladium causes compressive strains which provide a restoring force back in the other direction, so it's more efficient to load if you push on it and then back off a little bit. And the analogy that I like best is freeing a stuck drawer. If you've got a drawer stuck, you pull on it. You pull on it, it's stuck. So what do? Subconsciously, intuitively, what we do is wiggle the drawer in every direction, up, down, left, right, in, out, until it frees up. So it is subject to restoration by oscillatory process. We're not necessarily sure which of those oscillatory processes is important, but superwave seems to work in the same way in the electrochemical system to provide a much more reliable mechanism of loading hydrogen and deuterium to very high levels and to provide the flux. And both those things, as I said in the first segment, both those things are critical to the excess heat effect.
Now, when you talk about comparing this to the physiological system and the increase and decrease metabolism of sitting versus running, would you expect that these phenomena you could then apply to a cold fusion system to be able to be load following, so that as your load, you have a higher load requirement, where the load increases, you need to be able to respond to that, that the cold fusion system could then ramp up and ramp down accordingly?
Well, we certainly need that to happen, to have a practical device. It's not much point in having an automobile that has only one speed. You can't stop it. You can't accelerate it. So we will need to exert control, and we haven't done a very good job of that so far. And we have experiments, for example, that when you turn all of the electrical stimulus off, the heat persists for some periods of time, days, hours, days, in some cases a week, after the electrical stimulus is removed, the heat persists. So that's not... It's a very good demonstration of a real effect because it makes your calorimetry very easy, but it's not good control for a product. So
it's also quite an amazing thing unto itself, and that we call it heat after death, that we continue to get excess heat. And then, by the way, there is an analogy to that in the biological systems where certain phenomena repeat themselves without the stimulus afterwards, and it's an ischemic preconditioning, they call it, second window, third window, where there's an effect that recurs even though there's no input anymore. And this is the same extraordinary thing that we're seeing happening here. So what's unusual here for me as a physician is, I've read a little bit about quantum physics in the past, but then we're always looking to think in terms of trying to understand the biological world through the eyes of physics, and, through the molecular and then going down to physics as a basic phenomena. But here, I kind of reverse the process and looking at a biological system coming from life to look down and see how we can actually influence non-life, the so-called. After all, you and I, we're all made of not just molecules, we're made of atoms and quantum phenomena as well. And so why can't we influence that from that perspective as well?
Coming to the end of our segment here, I would be curious to know about the possibility of, rather than trying to be load following, first of all, just go to a base load capable, and then you can have other technologies to service batteries and increase, decrease based on a continuous output. Let's give your website out.
You can reach it at www.energetictechnologies.com, or you can go to the same site at www.superwavefusion.com.
Again, we've been talking to Drs. McCoubrey and Dardik. We really appreciate you coming on the show and wish you all the best.
Thanks very much, Sterling.
This is Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX 1100 Cave Creek, Phoenix. News Talk Leader, a division of Premier Radio Stations, LLC.
CNN Radio, I'm Paul Chambers.